your Holy Spirit to do the job that He needs to do. Father, if there is something that needs to be said this morning that is not in my notes, I pray that the Spirit would lead me. And Lord, just help us to be able to learn from this passage, to learn from this story, and to be able to gather something from it. I pray you challenge us and you use us. Lord, I pray you bless our church. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we read there a very interesting story of the King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and king of Israel, Ahab. Now, look down at verse number 1. I just want to look at the story this morning and make a few applications. And look down at verse 1. The Bible says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel." Now, you got to keep in mind, at the point in the book of Kings, where we're for the last chapter of 1 Kings here, Israel is no longer a united nation. It's been divided into two kingdoms. We have the southern kingdom of Judah, and then we have the northern kingdom of Israel, or the other 10 tribes of Israel. And we have now here two kings, and they're both Jewish, but one is the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, and his name is Jehoshaphat, and he was a good guy. He was a good man. The Bible says he loved the Lord, and he tried to do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he made a few mistakes, but for the most part, he was a good guy. And then we have the king of Israel. For the most part, all of the kings of Israel were evil men. For the most part, they all did bad, and this man was not an exception. In fact, he was the rule. King Ahab was probably one of the worst king Israel ever had, a wicked man, and he was definitely a bad guy. And if you look at verse number 1 in 1 Kings 22, the Bible says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah," now this is a good guy, "came down to the king of Israel." This is the bad guy. "And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria." Now if you look at verse 4, the Bible says, "And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." Now, that's a very interesting statement to me that Jehoshaphat would say. And you got to keep in mind, and I don't have time to go through it, and it would take way too long to show it to you. But Ahab has a lot of history in the Bible up to this point. In fact, we come at this point in the story, we saw there he died. It was the end of his life. Ahab has ruled Israel and has been a wicked king from the beginning. I mean, the Bible says that he did that, you know, he went in the same way as his father Jeroboam. The Bible says he married a woman named Jezebel, who brought Baal worship into Israel. The Bible says that, I mean, he killed people, and he had people killed because he just wanted their property. He clashed and fought with the great prophet Elijah, and did many horrible things, and worshiped Baal, and worshiped, which Baal is just the devil. It's just Satan. And he was a bad person. I mean, a wicked person. And Jehoshaphat is actually goes down in history as being a pretty good man, a pretty godly man, and a pretty and obviously he wasn't perfect and he made mistakes, but he did a lot of good things. But it's interesting to me, if you look at verse 4, when the king of Israel asked Jehoshaphat, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" The Bible says that Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, he said, "I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." Now I think that's very interesting, and I'll show you why. Keep your finger there in the last chapter of 1 Kings, we're going to be coming back to it. Go with me, please, to the New Testament, to the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. And look at verse 14. Titus chapter number 2, and verse 14. The Bible says this. Now, just so you understand, Ahab was not saved. Ahab worshipped the devil. Ahab worshipped Baal. Ahab did not believe in the Lord, did not believe in Jesus Christ. And we'll see that here in a little bit. And Jehoshaphat was saved. Jehoshaphat was a child of God. And in Titus chapter number 2, in verse 14, the Bible says this. "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." The Bible says that God purified him to himself a peculiar people. He said that word peculiar, he's saying a different type of people. He said a people that is peculiar, they're just a little different, maybe even a little odd, maybe just a little different from the rest of the world. You're there in Titus, go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2. in the New Testament. We'll get back to 1 Kings, but look at 1 Peter chapter number 2 and look at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and look at verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9, the Bible says this. But ye, and just so you keep in mind, we're reading verses here that are applied to Christians, right, to a church. And he said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, the Bible says, and the Bible makes it very clear, that when you got saved, when you became a Christian, God said that he made you a little different. He said he made you a chosen generation. He says he made you a royal priesthood. He said he made you a holy nation, a peculiar people. He said I separated you. The Bible says that he commanded us to come out from among them, referring to the world. He said, be ye separate, saith the Lord. And God has made a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. God has put a difference between a saved person and a not saved, unsaved person. Now look, we're all people and we're all sinners. But God, you know, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you've been saved and you now have a home in heaven, where an unsaved person is going to spend eternity in hell. The Bible says when you got saved, that God became your heavenly Father, where the Bible says that the unsaved are not the children of God. You know, people think, oh, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. Only those who have been born again, only those who have received Jesus Christ, the Bible says, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. So there is a very distinct difference between a saved person and an unsaved person. Now, we're not any better than they are. We're not any, you know, we're human beings and we're sinners just like them. But because we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now a peculiar, a chosen, a called out, a holy nation is what the Bible says. And Jehoshaphat was part of that peculiar people. But if you go back to 1 Kings 22:4, Jehoshaphat makes a very a statement that is really just a lie. And really this is what the sermon is about this morning. It's about a lying spirit. And we're going to get to it here in a little bit. But he makes a statement that is just out not right, just not true. Jehoshaphat says to a wicked king, said, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Now here's the thing. We are not the world. You know, Christians today will look at an unsaved person. Christians today will look at a person who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they'll say, I am as thou art. You know, we're the same type of person. And it's just not true. And the truth of the matter is, it comes down to this. Christians would save themselves a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble if they realize that we are not the world. We cannot play the game by the same rules they... You know, we look at unsaved people and we say, well, how do they do that? How do they get away with that? Why is it that they can just, you know, drink? And why is it that they can just do drugs? And why is it that they can just get divorced? And why is it that they can just skip church? And why is it that they can not read the Bible and not care about God and cheat and lie and do whatever? And it seems like they're just prospering. It seems like nothing ever happens to them. It seems like Ahab just had this great kingdom and had this great, you know, he'd been ruling for years. And you know, and we look at it and we do one little thing and we don't get away with it. I mean, God just punishes it. God just stops it. He chastens us. But see, what we got to understand is this. We're not the world. As, you know, as much as we want to hang out with the world, as much as we want to look at our worldly friend and say, I'm as thou art. You know, as much as we want to just go to the world and go to unsaved people and say, oh, we're the same. Oh, we can be friends. Oh, we can be buddies. Oh, we can do whatever. Hey, we're not the world. Period. And you might as well just get used to it and just decide, I'm going to separate myself from the world. Because as much as Jehoshaphat is going to say, I am as thou art and my people are thy people, it's just not true. He's different. And you're different. I'm different. You know, we try to play the game of life by the rules that the unsaved people play, and it seems like we're not succeeding, and here's why. We don't have the same rules. They don't have the God that we have. And in our lives, we're just not going to be the same. But if you look at verse 5, the Bible says this, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, and I want you to understand, Jehoshaphat's a good guy. The king of Israel, King Ahab, is a bad guy. And Jehoshaphat, because remember, Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, are you going to go with me to fight this battle? And he said, I am as thou art. You know, my people is thy people. My horses is thy horses. But in verse 5, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now see, here, Jehoshaphat proves, you know, by his actions and his concerns, and he's not like King Ahab. Because Ahab doesn't care what the Lord has to say about anything. But Jehoshaphat says, well, you know, I'll go with you, but let's inquire at the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to make a note of this, because it's going to be a big point in the sermon, and we're going to be looking at it real quickly, very in-depthly. But the Bible says, in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, he says, inquire, I pray thee. And he says this, at the word of the Lord. And if you see the word Lord there, it's a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Alright? Now this is what you got to understand about our King James Bible. That when you see that word Lord there, all capital letters, that's not the word, you know, the word Lord simply means like master. You'll see in the Bible many times where it says the word Lord and it'll be a capital L, lowercase O-R-D. That's just somebody being a master. That's like, you know, in the Bible you would call your boss your Lord. Sarah, the Bible says, called Abraham, her husband, her Lord. Now she wasn't calling him God, she was just saying like, he's my boss. You know, he's in charge, he's a master. That, you know, and it's not wrong to call somebody that. You know, somebody who is, you know, your Lord, in that sense. But whenever you see the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's not just a Lord like the boss of the business or like the husband of, you know, the family. That's Lord, that Lord in all capitals there is the name that the King James translators, you know, that's they put there as. When we see that, we know they're referring to Jehovah God. I mean, the name there is the Lord Jehovah. I mean, the Almighty, all-powerful, you know, ever, you know, always has been and always will be a self, you know, sufficient God. That's what those capital letters there. And I want you to see that because Jehoshaphat made it very clear. He said, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D today. Now, if you look at verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. So he says, okay, we'll gather the prophets, we'll bring them in, we'll ask, you know, we'll see what God has to say about this. He gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Now that just kind of reminds me, because if you know the story of Ahab, he just a few, you know, just earlier in the book, he was battling with the real famous story of Elijah. If you remember when Elijah prayed fire down from heaven, and when Elijah was, fighting with these people, there was 400 prophets of Baal. I don't know if you remember the story. 400 prophets of Baal, they were praying, because Elijah made them, he pretty much just challenged them. He said, okay, this is what we're going to do. You make an altar, I'll make an altar. You pray to your God of Baal, I'll pray to my God, and whichever God, you know, sends down fire from heaven, we'll know that that's the God. And Elijah said, you go first. So the 400 prophets of Baal, of Ahab and of Jezebel, they set up an altar, they started praying, and they were praying for hours. And then they started dancing, and they started running. The Bible says they even started cutting themselves and bleeding and just calling on their God. And they were just, you know, calling. And Elijah started mocking them. He started saying, you know, cry, you know, maybe your God's asleep. And maybe your God went on a trip. Say, maybe he's busy. Maybe he's pursuing. You know, and he's mocking them and stuff. And, you know, I believe that, because the devil has power, I believe that those guys fully expected to bring fire down from heaven. I believe that the devil could have done it. Or that they had seen. You know, because in Egypt, the people of Pharaoh, though, they were able to do miracles as well. But, you know, God decided on that day, no, Satan, you know, you're not dropping down fire. We're gonna see how this goes. You know, and then so they did that. And then Elijah, the Bible says, he set up an altar, he prayed, fire came down. And then once everybody saw that Elijah's God was the God of the Bible, then Elijah, the Bible says, he killed the 400 prophets. But here, just a few chapters later, we see that he's got another 400 prophets. So he just rounded up another 400 men and said, okay, now you're my prophets, you know. And anyway, that had nothing to do with anything, but I thought that was interesting. But he said, you know, he gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, now look at what they said. They said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it. Now, do you see when it says, the Lord shall deliver it? It doesn't say capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's a capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Now you say, well, you're kind of looking into it. Well, we'll see. It'll become clear as the passage goes on. But this is what the 400 prophets said. They said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver unto the hand of the king. Now, and I just want you to take note of that. They said Lord, not Jehovah God Lord. Now look at verse 8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, oh, I'm sorry, verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, so these 400 prophets come.
They said, hey, yeah, go. The Lord's going to give you the battle.
Verse 7, Jehoshaphat, the good king, said, is there not here a prophet of the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? You see that? He said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? He's saying, besides these? Because he's saying, you know, I know you brought me these prophets of this lowercase L-O-R-D. I know you brought me these prophets of these other gods, of these other devils. But he's saying, is there a prophet here of the Lord? I'm talking about Jehovah God. I'm talking about the Almighty. Do you see, you know, I'm not making this up. Do you see it? He says, I want to hear from the capital L-O-R-D. They bring him 400 prophets of the lowercase L-O-R-D. And he says, no. I need a prophet of the L-O-R-D, Jehovah God. Is there another prophet besides these that we might inquire of him? He says, I want to hear from Jehovah God, is what he's saying. And look at verse 8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So see, Ahab knew exactly what Jehoshaphat wanted. Ahab knew exactly who Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from. He brings these 400 prophets that are, you know, speaking of another Lord. And look what he says. He says, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Now, just notice, and I want you to see, and I know it might seem like I'm just picking at little things here, but notice that there is only one man who speaks for the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. There's only one. There's 400 that speak for this other Lord. But there's only one man who speaks for this Jehovah God. You know, as opposed to the 400 who speak for the other Lord. Now, notice that this prophet is not popular or liked. And the Bible makes it clear why. Because King Ahab said, he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. You know, and the truth of the matter is this. You know, go with me to Jeremiah chapter number 1. I'll show you a few verses just so you understand what I'm trying to say. We'll come back to 1 Kings 22. But look at Jeremiah chapter number 1. The word prophesying in the Bible, we think of prophecy and we think, you know, foretelling the future. But prophesying in the Bible, although it can mean that, it also just means, you know, what we would consider today preaching. Like what I'm doing right now, you would say, oh, you're preaching. Well, the Bible would call that prophesying. They say, I'm prophesying. And the Bible preaching is when I go and knock on somebody's door and personally win them to Christ, show them the Bible and show them that Jesus is their Savior, and they bow their heads and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what the Bible calls preaching. You know, we call this preaching. The Bible calls soul winning preaching. The Bible calls this prophesying. Not a big deal. Doesn't really matter. But just so you understand, when the Bible talks about somebody prophesying, it's talking about them standing up and preaching the Word of God. And if you look at Jeremiah 1, chapter number 1 and verse 10, the Bible says this. See, and now just so you understand the context, God is speaking to Jeremiah. And God is telling Jeremiah what my ministry for you is going to be. And he says in Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse 10, he says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. God says, Jeremiah, I set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Here's what I want you to do. And he says, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, I want you to take notice of a few things. Some of those words, imagine, you know, imagine if you had your, you know, I think of my sons, you know, often. Imagine if my sons, you know, were standing here, or they were playing, and they were doing some of these things. They were rooting out. You know, they go out in the backyard, they find, you know, the vegetables that we'd grown back there at some point before I accidentally killed all of them and my wife wasn't very happy about it. But let's say they went over there and they just started pulling out. Is that a negative thing or a positive thing? It's a negative thing, right? I mean, I would be upset if they're just pulling out, you know, or rooting out, you know, something that we had planted. And then he says, I want you to pull down. Think of that. And what if my kids just went up to the piano and they started grabbing all the things? They started grabbing our beautiful map there and they just started pulling it down. That's a negative thing, right? I'd be pretty upset about that. It says, and to destroy. I mean, that's a negative thing, right? They just start grabbing things, start destroying them, start breaking windows, start destroying, you know, chairs or whatever. And he says, and to throw down. Imagine my kids just ran up here and started pushing this pulpit and threw it on the ground. That's a negative thing, right? And then it says this, to build, positive. My kids built something. I'd be very proud of them. And he says, and to plant, positive. Now notice, God told Jeremiah. He said, I've set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. And he says, I have six things for you to do, Jeremiah. I want you to root out. I guess that would be this way. To pull down. He said, to destroy, to throw down. And then he says, to build and to plant. Notice, he said six things. Four of them are negative. Two of them are positive. He said, Jeremiah, the ministry I have for you, I want you to do this. I want you to be more negative than you are positive. Now, I know that goes against all the psychiatry of this world and all the social helps of this world. Everybody says, think positive and think good thoughts and the power of positive thinking. But Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, I want you, he said, here's the balance I want in your ministry, Jeremiah. I want you to be 2/3 negative, 1/3 positive. He said, when you stand up to preach, I want you to preach more sermons that are negative than more sermons that are positive. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 58. If you're there in Jeremiah, just go to the left in your Bible. Isaiah chapter number 58 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter number 58 and verse 1. Isaiah 58, 1 is what I consider preaching 101. It's God teaching Isaiah how he wants him to preach. And look at what he says. Isaiah 58, 1, the Bible says this. God tells Isaiah, Isaiah, here's how I want you to preach. He says, cry aloud. That spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. You say, well, I'd like to preach one day. I'd like to stand behind a pulpit and preach. You say, how should I preach? Here's how you should preach. Number one, be loud. He said, cry aloud. He said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. When the Bible uses the word trumpet, it's talking about somebody being very loud. He said, I want you to... He said, Pastor, man, why is it sometimes you're preaching, you start yelling, and you're just spitting everywhere, and you're just being really loud? Well, that's what the Bible says. That's what God said to do. He said, cry aloud. But then he says this, spare not. You know what that means? It means don't skip anything. He says, don't go over anything. You know, and I know I'm asking you to turn to a lot of places, but go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and look at verse 2, because I'll show you something in regards to sparing not. 2 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter number 4 and verse number 2. And we're going to be coming back to 2 Timothy after we read this. So you might as well just put your bulletin there or ribbon or put a finger there and then keep a finger in Isaiah and keep your thumb in 1 Kings 22 or just figure it out. Just do something. But look at 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Because in Isaiah 58:1 he said, cry aloud. He said, spare not. Now that spare not means don't skip anything. He said, don't spare anything. He said, just say it. Just say what you're going to say. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 2, the Bible says this. Paul is teaching Timothy how to preach. He says, preach the word. He said, be instant. And look what he says, in season, out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, he says to him, in season, out of season. You know what that means? He says, Timothy, say it whether it's popular, say it whether it's not popular. Say, if a lot of people are doing it, if a lot of people aren't doing it, he said, just, you know what he was telling him? He was saying, spare not. He's saying, just say it. Just don't skip anything. You know, don't, when the Bible says something, don't just skip it because you know, well, so-and-so back there is doing that, or so-and-so back here, they're in that type of sin, or I think so-and-so might not like that. He said, hey, he's saying, when you're going to stand up to preach, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to cry loud. He said, I want you to spare not. He said, whether it's in season, out of season, whether it's popular, whether it's not popular, whether people like it, whether people don't like it, he said, just do it. And then, if you go back to Isaiah 58:1, now keep your finger or something in 2 Timothy 4:2, because we're going to be going back there as the sermon progresses. But in Isaiah 58:1, he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and then he says this, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sin. He said, I want you to call out sin. He said, I want you to show people their transgression. He said, I want you to show the house of Israel their sin. You want to know how I know that the average pastor in America today is not a biblical preacher? You say, well, how do you know that? Because they don't, first of all, they don't yell. You know, people think preaching nowadays is just like this sort of a talk that we have. You just get up and you just kind of talk about the word. Well, look, that's not biblical preaching. And I'm convinced of that. And people think I'm crazy when I say this or they think I'm joking. But even fundamental Baptists who are right on all the doctrines, who preach out of the King James Bible and they know salvation, they got it straight. If they don't stand up and just scream and yell about something, it's not biblical preaching. Because God told them, cry aloud. Spare not. But not only
that, they're not, you know, preaching that doesn't call out sin is not biblical preaching.
And preaching, by the way, that calls out sin is negative preaching. It's preaching that people don't like. You know, you don't become people's favorite preacher by calling them out on their sin. And that's exactly, if you go back to First Kings chapter number 22, that's exactly what happened to Micaiah. Ahab said about Micaiah, he said, I hate him. He said, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He said, this guy keeps telling me that I'm doing wrong. This guy keeps telling me that I'm in sin. This guy keeps telling me that I shouldn't worship Baal. This guy keeps telling me that my wife's a whore. You know, he keeps telling me all these horrible things. He said, I don't like him. He said, now these 400, I like them. You know, they'll tell me, hey, go up. The Lord, now it's not Jehovah God. It's another Lord. But they'll say, hey, the Lord is going to prosper you. The Lord is going to help you. But Jehoshaphat says, well, I want to hear from the Lord Jehovah God. And he said, all right, bring Micaiah. Look at verse 9, 1 Kings 22:9. And the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of the Imlah, of Imlah. So they sent a man, an officer, to go find Micaiah, because King Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from the Lord. Verse 10. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. So they're just sitting there waiting for Micaiah to show up. You know, they send an officer to find him. And while they're sitting there, these other prophets, they come back and they're still prophesying. They're still having their service. They're still saying, you know, prophesying before them. And in verse 11, the Bible says this, and Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron. Now I think this is interesting, because he said, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. Now, you know, when you're reading these things, you gotta just kinda get into it. Really just imagine what's going on. These kings are sitting there in their thrones. They're waiting for the man of God to show up because they want to hear from the Lord, Jehovah God. And these 400 prophets, they're still doing their thing. And this guy, Zedekiah, he gets into it. Bible says he actually goes out and he builds horns of iron, like a bull would have horns. And he puts on these horns on his head. And he says, I mean, he's coming up to this king and he's saying, King, you're going to push him back? You're going to push back the king of Syria with these horns? And I mean, he's into it. He's putting on a show. And to me, it seems kind of funny. You know, he puts on these horns. He's like, you're going to kick them like this. And you're going to fight against him. And God's going to bless you. You know, and this guy's really into it. And King Ahab is probably thinking, yeah, I like it, you know. Putting on a show. Real interesting. Real funny, right? But then look at this. In what verse were we in? 9, 11. Nobody knows. Look at 11. I think that's where we were. And Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. So he's really into it. He's getting into it, right? And in verse 12, the Bible says, and all the prophets prophesied so. So all the prophets are like, yeah, you know, they're agreeing with him, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead. And look what he says, and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. While the two kings are waiting for Micaiah to come, you know, the other prophets continue to prophesy. Zedekiah gets really into it. He's got these horns and he's putting on a show. And he's saying, look, you're going to push him back like a bull. You're going to push him back with these horns and you're going to do something great. And notice this, because it's interesting. I don't know if you caught it. In verse 12, it says, and all the prophets prophesied so. So all the prophets are agreeing with Zedekiah. I don't want you to miss this. Saying, these are the 400 prophets. Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. Keep in mind, these are the 400 prophets. For the, what are they saying now? Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, shall deliver it into the king's hands. Did you catch that? What is that about? Well, here's the thing. Jehoshaphat says, let's inquire of the Lord. Ahab says, I'll bring my 400 prophets. The 400 prophets, they say, the Lord, lowercase L-O-R-D, is going to prosper you. Jehoshaphat says, I want to hear, is there a prophet of the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, besides these? And they hear that, you know. And Ahab says, well, there's Micaiah, but I hate him. And Jehoshaphat says, well, bring him anyway. And they send somebody to bring him. And now these guys, now they change their story. Now it's no longer L-O-R-D, lowercase. Now they're saying, no, Jehoshaphat, your God, Jehovah God, is going to do it. Do you see that? This isn't just a coincidence that it's going back and forth like this. See, here's the thing. These prophets were just telling Jehoshaphat whatever they thought he wanted to hear. You see what I'm saying? He said, I want to hear from Jehovah God, so they changed their sermon and saying, no, Jehovah God said it. And they said, you know, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord Jehovah God shall deliver it. They changed their sermon because they say, oh, okay, we're going to change our message to appease what Jehoshaphat wants to say. And we're going to just tell him that he's going to prosper. And here's what I'm trying to get at. Today there are preachers all over this country who are going to stand up behind a pulpit and they're not going to cry aloud, they're not going to spare not, then they're just going to preach what is referred to as a prosperity gospel. They're going to talk to the people and they're just going to tell their congregation, they're going to just tell them whatever they think they want to hear. They're going to tell them, God's going to prosper you, God's going to make you rich, God wants to bless you, there's these seven steps to success, and God, you know, God doesn't care that you're in adultery, God doesn't care that you're in fornication, God doesn't care that you drink alcohol, God doesn't care that you cheat and you lie. Look, it doesn't matter how you live your life. Look, God loves you and God accepts you and God just wants you to come as you are. And what are they doing? They're just preaching whatever they think the congregation wants to hear, just like these prophets. As soon as Jehoshaphat says, I want to hear from the Lord, they say, no, no, it was the Lord. He said, well, I thought you said lowercase L-O-R-D before. No, we meant capital L-O-R-D. You just changed their sermon. They're just trying to appease them. Did you keep your finger there in 2 Timothy 4? Go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 2. The Bible says this. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. See, he says, the time's going to come where they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to want to hear sound doctrine. They're not going to want to hear what the Bible says. They're just going to, but after their own lust, they're going to heap to themselves teachers. They're going to look for teachers having itching ears. The idea, you know, when I read that, and what I think of, you know, like my dog Gunner here, you know, or back there, wherever he's at. You know, like a dog comes up to you and he has this itching ear and he just wants you to scratch his ear. You know, as soon as you start scratching his ear, they start going like this with their leg. Oh, they love it, you know. Oh, it's the greatest thing, you know. You could go up to the dog's ear and start scratching his ear. It's just the greatest thing for them. And that's the idea that God is saying. He's saying there's going to come a time when people are going to find a preacher, not because he preaches sound doctrine, not because he preaches the word of God, not because he tells them what, you know, because he cries aloud, because he spares not, because he lifts up his voice like a trumpet, because he shows them their transgression and their sin. He's saying, I'm going to look for a preacher who's going to itch my ear or scratch my ear. My wife always says itch for scratch. Anyway, it's funny. You know, he says, I'm going to find somebody who's going to appease me. I'm going to find somebody who's going to prophesy good things unto me. And that's what happened. What's happening in 1 Kings 22. These 400 prophets are just telling Jehoshaphat, are just telling Ahab what they think they want to hear. Now go back to, keep your finger there because we're coming back to 2 Timothy again. All right, I'm warning you right now. But let's go back to 1 Kings 22. Look at verse 14. 13. 1 Kings 22, 13. 1 Kings 22, 13. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him. So this is the officer they sent off to call Micaiah, if you remember. And this is what he said to Micaiah. Spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. So he's telling Micaiah, he's saying, hey look, these 400 prophets, they're saying nothing but good stuff to the king. They're saying that he's going to win the battle. They're saying that he's going to prosper. And he's telling them, hey, you better just say something. Be like the word of them. He's saying, hey, just go with the flow, Micaiah. Micaiah, don't cause any problems. Just they said that God's going to prosper him. You say the same thing. Look at verse 14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And I like that. You know, no apology, no fear. Just the truth. You know, he wasn't afraid to make enemies. He wasn't afraid to upset somebody. He said, look, I'm not going to just say what these 400 guys said. He said, whatever the cap, did you see it again? I know you probably feel like I'm just making a big deal. But he said, whatever the capital L-O-R-D said unto me, that will I speak. He said, I'm going to preach what God tells me to preach. He said, I don't care if I make enemies. I don't care if Jehoshaphat doesn't Corinthians 4:16, Paul said this. He said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He said, he was telling these people he loved, he said, am I become your enemy? And though the person who loved you, the person who started your church, the person who got many of you saved, and who led some of you to Christ, and who brought you the gospel, he said, am I become your enemy? And he said, here's why. Because I tell you the truth. And Micaiah was saying, hey, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Look at verse 15. So he came to the king. And the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle? Or shall we forbear? And this thing is very interesting. Look at what Micaiah says. And he answered him, go and prosper. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And look at how Ahab responds. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Isn't that interesting? Micaiah comes and he says, hey, should we go to... And he's being sarcastic with him. He's saying, hey, go. God's going to prosper you. And Ahab just looks right through and says, how many times have I told you to just tell me the truth? You know, because Ahab knows that the 400 are lying to him. Ahab knows that the 400 are just there to please him. Ahab knows that the Lord is not pleased with Ahab. And he says, look, don't lie to me. Tell me that which is true in the name of the Lord. Look at verse 17. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he, now this is Micaiah, said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. And he begins to tell them this. King Ahab a story. And he said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning these. See, Micaiah says, he calls out his prophets. He said, these prophets are a bunch of liars. He said, these prophets are just lying to you. They're just saying whatever you want to hear. And Ahab knows they're lying, because when Micaiah said the same thing, he said, stop lying to me. Tell me the truth. So Ahab knows he's lying. He knows these prophets are lying to him. And Micaiah explains to him, he says, you know why they're lying to you, Ahab? Because God sent a lying spirit and put it in the mouths of your prophets that they might send you forth to battle and that you will die and that you will be destroyed because you're hearing a lie. Now, let me read for you a quote. I like this quote. It's a short quote, but it's true, and you got to think about it. It says this, the first step to living a lie is believing it. Think about that. The first step to living a lie is believing it. Did you keep your finger at 2 Timothy chapter number 4? Look at verse 1. Look at verse 2 again. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And look what it says in verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The Bible says there's going to come a day when people refuse sound doctrine. They refuse the truth. And they choose to hear. You know, they'll be turned unto fables. They choose and they decide to believe a lie. And the first step to living a lie is believing it. Go back to 1 Kings 22. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. 1 Kings 22, 17. I've only been preaching for 39 minutes. We're doing good on time. Look at 1 Kings 22, 17. Bible says, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. You know what the sad thing is? When you decide to believe a lie, and because you believe a lie, you live a lie, truth is still truth. You know, I want to say it was John Adams who said, facts are stubborn things. And he said, the thing is that truth doesn't stop being truth because you decide to believe a lie. Hell doesn't become less of hell, and doesn't become less fiery, and doesn't become less torment, or doesn't become less real because a Jehovah's Witness or a Seventh-day Adventist says it doesn't believe, it doesn't exist. The blood of Jesus Christ still saves you, and Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and is the only way to heaven, whether or not the Muslim or the Buddhist or any other religion wants to believe that it's real. Because you believe a lie, it doesn't change fact. It doesn't change things around it. And the sad thing is that when Ahab decided, I'm going to listen to a lie, I'm going to live a lie, I'm going to believe a lie, other people suffered. He took a nation into battle with him, and he died. I'm going to believe a lie. I'm going to be lied to. I'm going to turn away from sound doctrine. I'm going to believe fables. And other people suffer. Because some Jehovah's Witness decides, hell doesn't exist. And I'm going to go tell all these people it doesn't exist. They're still going to die and go to hell. He said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. It's sad when we believe and live a lie, others suffer. Look at verse 24. But Zedekiah, the son of Shenaanah, went near. Now, you remember, Zedekiah was the one that was really into it. He built the horns, and he's going around there, and he's saying, man, you're going to get him like this, and you're going to poke him like that, and you're going to bring him back to sin, you know. And in verse 24, the Bible says, but Zedekiah, the son of Shenaanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek. He smashed him. And said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? You know, he's mocking him. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. He said, you know, Zedekiah, you want to know where the Spirit of the Lord came? Well, it came from you and it came to me and it told me what I just said. He said, you'll figure it out when you're hiding yourself. When you're hiding for fear because we've lost this battle, because people are dying. Because you don't want to stand up and tell this king the truth. Because you don't want to stand up and tell the king you're not right, you're wrong, you're in sin. God isn't going to prosper you. God isn't going to bless you. In fact, God's going to kill you. He said, when you're hiding yourself in fear because you're afraid that the Syrians are going to kill you, he said, that's when you're going to figure it out where the Spirit of the Lord came and told me this. Look at verse 26. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and Joash, the king's son. And say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison, and feed him with bread of affliction, and with water of affliction, until I come in peace. You know, the truth of the matter is that this type of preaching, this type of loud, cry aloud, spare not, show people their transgression, show people their sin, it doesn't make you the most popular. You know, this style of preaching, you know, I got a feeling that I'm not going to be the next Joel Osteen. No, I'm not going to be Billy Graham's replacement. You know, I'm not going to be the next Rick Warren. You know, I got a feeling that Obama's not going to invite me to his next inauguration and have me do the opening prayer. I just don't think that's going to happen. Because when you preach like this, people don't like it. When you preach like this, people, you know, the crowds don't come to this type of church. Just a few. Just you know, there's 400 of them. There's just one of Micaiah. When you preach like this, you know, it's just not popular. They said they threw him in prison. He said, feed them with bread of affliction, with water of affliction. Look at verse 27 again. And say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction. And look at what after all of this, look at what Ahab says. He says, until I come in peace. He says, put him in prison. He said, I'm going to go out to war. I'm going to take the advice of my 400 prophets. And when I come back in peace, then you can let him out. He said, put him in prison until I come in peace. And I love verse 8. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Because he says, you know, put him in there until I come. And he's saying, if you even come back. He said, if thou return at all in peace. He said, well, then the Lord hath not spoken by me. He said, if you come back, Ahab, then you're right. I'm the one lying. Now just go, this is the last passage I'll have you turn to. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Deuteronomy towards the left of your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter number 18, look at verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter number 18 and look at verse 20. Deuteronomy 18:20, the Bible says this. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know that the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a look what he says in verse 22. Here's a test of a prophet. He says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. He says, if the prophet says this is going to happen and it doesn't happen, he says, then look, don't be afraid of him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, you may ask me, you know, why is it that you call Harold Camping an idiot? You know, here's the thing. Here's why I called Harold Camping an idiot. Because he's already prophesied like 3 times that Jesus, that the end of the world was coming, and he's been wrong every time. So you know what? You know what the Bible tells me? He's not a prophet. You know, I was in the Bay Area this week doing some work, and I saw all these signs, you know. I can't, for whatever reason, I can't remember the day. You think I put it in my calendar or something, it's a big day. What is it, May 21st? May 21st, you know, big, Judgment Day, May 21st. As I'm driving, I'm thinking to myself, that idiot. You know, he's not a prophet. You know why I know Benny Hinn's not a prophet? Because everything he says never comes to pass. When he, you know, because he's made prophecies about, like, America, whatever, never happened. You don't know why the Jehovah's Witnesses are a bunch of idiots? Because when they prophesied that Jesus was coming back, I think they've done it 2 or 3 times themselves. They went up to their big building in New York City waiting for Jesus to come. Never came. You know what that tells me? They're not a prophet. Say, well, if they say something and it doesn't come to pass, you know why? You say, well, are you a prophet? Well, here's the thing. All I prophesy is this. There's a hell. There's a heaven. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. And you know what? One day that will come to pass. Because a prophet is not just supposed to come up with their own inventions. You're just supposed to preach the Word of God. That's all that Micaiah was doing, was he said, whatever the Lord say, that shall I say. Here's a sermon. That was all introduction. Here's a sermon. I said all that to say this. We, all day, every day, get lied to by this world. By prophets, by people. And usually when you get lied to, you know, you can tell when somebody's lying to you. Here's the only time a lie becomes appealing: when it's something you want to believe. When somebody comes to you and says something that, you know, it's just completely ridiculous. You're just like, that's stupid. But if somebody comes up to you and it's something you already kind of desired, you know, and today, families and children and people are being scattered as sheep having no shepherd. They're being scattered. They're being destroyed. Because people are choosing, like Ahab, to believe a lie when they know it's a lie. You know, people are believing the lie that church is not important. America took that one hook, line, and sinker. Church isn't important. God isn't important. We don't need prayer. We don't need the Bible. We don't need God. We've got technology and we've got riches. And by and large, in America, church is not the priority. Hunting is a priority. Fishing is a priority. Sleeping in is a priority. Anything else, you know, we'll make it out to church if it's convenient. But, you know, anything's more important than the Bible, than the Word of God, than the preaching. And because people have believed that lie, look at the state of our country. Vastly different than what we read about in books 100 years ago. People believe lies, you know, and they become appealing. You know, when you start hearing the lie, oh, you know, you don't deserve that spouse. That spouse did you wrong. That spouse, you deserve somebody better than that. It becomes appealing when you want to believe it. But here's what you don't understand. When you believe a lie and you start living it, truth is still truth. Righteousness is still righteousness. God says, you know, and here's the thing. There's still going to be children scattered. There's still going to be lives destroyed. When the Word of God says, hey, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to go out soul winning. I want you to knock on every door in Sacramento. I want you to take people the gospel. And you say, well, that's not really for me. Well, I don't have the talent. I don't have the time. I don't have the ability. I'm kind of nervous. I'm kind of shy. Whatever your lie you choose to believe, those people still die and go to hell. Those people still, there's still a hell. Whatever the lie is. I don't know what lie you may be wanting to believe this morning. But you better wake up to the Word of God and realize it doesn't matter if you believe a lie. It doesn't matter if you live a lie. At the end of the day, Ahab died. And all the children of Israel were scattered abroad. And you know what? Zedekiah figured it out when he was hiding himself in the chamber, crying and weeping and shaking for fear. He figured out, Micaiah was right. And I'm just trying to save you some hurt. I'm trying to save you some agony. Why don't you just wake up this morning and realize this book is true, this Bible is real, and whether it's me or some other Bible preacher who preaches the Word of God, just wake up and decide, you know what, I'm not going to believe a lie, because the first step to living a lie is believing it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much.